Bienvenidos y welcome to the Biz Bruja Podcast, where reclaiming our powerful intuition, our sacred medicina, embracing our magic and healing ancestral patterns, invoke powerful creations in our own well-being, our lives, familias, community, and our businesses. Remembering that our businesses are so important at this time. I'm the creatrix of this blogcast, the Biz Bruja herself, Vanessa Codorniu, a modern-day bruja, fourth-generation psychic medium, clinical hypnotist, energy healer, and soul biz mentor and coach. An Argentine-American who started reading adults at 16, became a professional intuitive at 22, and now guides creatives, intuitives, healers, and entrepreneurs to break through fears, connect to the practical power of their intuition so they can serve the world powerfully. Hola, mi gente bella. Hello, my beautiful people. I am so excited to have this conversation today with a beautiful, beautiful healer and soul that I met while doing the work with Resilient Femme. Please open your hearts for Li Ying. Hello, welcome Li Ying, how are you?
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm excited to have you here. We were just talking offline before coming on that I think that her particular magic and her particular gifts are something that is probably nuevo para nuestra comunidad, new for our community. And so I'm going to read her bio before we get into it, and I hope I get this right. Okay. Li Ying is the founder of When Still Waters Speak, a Cha Dao ceremonial keeper and spiritual mentor. When Still Waters Speak is founded upon the spirit of reuniting luxury and sacred as one through the living art of Cha Dao as a way of living. This spirit permeates all that cultivates stillness, to enrich the soul and unveil the wholeness of a multidimensional woman. When it comes to creating a most fulfilling life, it is not about the how, but the what you embody. I love that so much. Oh, wow. I have so many questions. One of the first things that I want to talk about is your spiritual path, your background, like where you grew up. How did you come to discover Cha Dao? Did you grow up with it? And the what that you are embodying. So,
Wow, thank you. And thank you so much to all your listeners as well. Thank you for opening your hearts to welcome me here and to learn more about Cha Dao. Cha Dao in English is the way of tea. And more than anything else, whether some people see it as a principle or even like something that's very intellectual, which you certainly can, it's truly a way of living in harmony with nature for me, in reverence of life. And for me, literally, it really feels like living in ceremony in every way, every single moment of my of my day, of my life. But I didn't grow up with this. I was born in Malaysia, and it's actually where I am right now, which is so interesting that we are having this interview here. I currently reside in Edinburgh in Scotland, but I'm spending a couple of weeks here back home with my parents and my family. And, you know, growing up in Malaysia from a Chinese background, it's always felt like I didn't belong for a long time. And as early as I can remember, I always questioned, you know, what does it mean to belong? What does home really mean? Or even a home country? Because in Malaysia, we are a very multinational country. So the Chinese is not technically the original nationality in Malaysia. So I've always questioned that. And so it felt very diasporic for a long time. So as I grew up, my childhood, and through my teenage years, I was always very insecure. And I grew up with a very, I had a family of really powerful women, for sure. But I think the lineage has been imbued with a lot of stories and patterns of women sacrificing themselves for the. So, you know, I would grow up hearing stories of like my grandmother or my late great grandmother, bless their souls, they would give up their opportunities to go to school because their elder brother or their only brother have to go. They're the only ones who can study, who can get an education back in the day when they were in China, and they had to take the boat out to escape the Cultural Revolution to Malaysia. And that's how we ended up here. So I think in so many ways, this ran in my blood in such a deep way where, you know, I always thought that I had to sacrifice something to find happiness. And so growing up, it's always been indoctrinated in me that I have to work really, really hard. And so from school, you know, education-wise, even for love, like the approval, the validation, everything, just was very much hinged on that, to the point where I actually developed an eating disorder because I thought that, you know, if I were thin enough, then, you know, I will finally be loved. And so I was actually diagnosed with anorexia, and I suffered from about 10 years of yo-yo recovery, going in and out of hospices. And it was just really a very dark time in my life. And I came to a point where my health was very jeopardized. Like, I had to really make a decision, like, am I going to continue living like this, you know, isolating myself, so fearful of forging any relationships in my life, and fearful of food, fearful of eating, pushing myself to the edge with everything, my energy, my body. I was over-exercising. I broke my foot. I was still running for 3 hours a day, that kind of obsession. And I had a thyroid growing out of the side of my chin that made it almost like I couldn't hide this from the world anymore because it was right there in my face. And so I decided to go full on into recovery. And as with all things divinely aligned, it always aligns for us in the most incredible ways. And I really believe that everything happens for us in every way, because when I made that decision, I actually received a job offer to leave Malaysia to go to Hong Kong for a new position to work in media, a beautiful media company that was a dream to work in. And so I started fresh in a new city, went full on into my recovery, really dove deep into, you know, what does it mean to not obsessively exercise? So I went into yoga, and when I started to practice yoga, I started to really feel the Kundalini energy moving through my body. And that led me down the path of meditation and astral projections and all those beautiful things. And yet, I came to a point after a year or so, I would say, when I was fully recovered from eating disorders and happy with food, happy with living the way I was. I wasn't the most comfortable with my weight, but I was happy with where I was. I started to notice that while I felt very calm and joyous when I was in meditation, I couldn't seem to take that out of the room. And whenever I got out of meditation and got back on the streets in Hong Kong, I was just like blown away by the chaos. It was way too much for me, and working, the stress and everything. So I started to really go into exploration mode of like, how do I bridge that gap? And again, with divine timing, I remember there was one meditation right before this happened where I kind of sent a message to the universe in a way. I said, hey, universe, you know what? I kind of feel like there's something more to this, but I don't know what it is. Please send me a sign. And I got a media invitation to a tea ceremony. And I was like, you know what? I really love tea. Of course, let's do it. Let's go. And at that time, I was literally like a, you know, like a David's tea kind of girl, like herbal tea, peppermint tea. I shied away from Chinese tea all the time because I grew up thinking, oh my gosh, that's what you drink at dim sum restaurants, you know? And when I went into the ceremony, they were serving Chinese tea from the origin land itself, the ancestral land itself. They call it living tea, and it's biochemical free, agrochemical free, and it's artisanally made and all of that. But what really struck me wasn't that. It was like that experience of walking through a portal, like literally going through the threshold of the door, sitting down and receiving the bowl of tea in reverent silence, and feeling for the first time in my entire life, this is what home feels like. This is what belonging feels like from within. Not with the people there, but like from within, I understood what it felt like. And in that very moment, I was able to feel the presence of all my ancestors, the women sitting there with me. I could see my grandmothers sitting next to the cauldron, waiting patiently for the medicine in the cauldron to come to boil, come to perfect boil, because it takes hours and patience and it has to be that right note. And it just all collapsed time and space in that moment where I heard Tea Spirit speak to me and say, you have to go and serve tea. You have to drop everything you know and go and serve tea. And that was it. Like, I took a huge leap into the unknown. I left my job. And at the same time, running parallel to this whole thing that was happening and unfolding, was my now husband, then boyfriend, asking, you know, would you like to come to Edinburgh and live with me for a while and see how you feel? And then maybe we could get married in the future. And it just felt like a no-brainer, like, yes. And honestly, I made that decision, which a lot of people thought was crazy because I left everything that was going really well. But I really felt that was a certainty, that was a gift from tea to me. And that's what Cha Dao has been able to do, not just for me, but this is the work that I do, is that we get to play in the mystery. We get to understand what the mystery is and not fear it and not have to control every outcome, but rather really live the mystery and be that embodied wisdom walking through the mystery of life. Because ultimately, when you're willing to be in that unknown, you're opening doorways to limitless possibilities. And that starts with presence, really knowing who you are. Because so much of our thoughts, our behaviors, our habits, we think that we made or we are making decisions that are based on who we are, and I'm making quotation air quotes here, but so much of that, if we are not aware, they are actually conditionings, they are actually thought patterns that were on repeat since, that were given to us since childhood. And then we sit back and wonder like, why did I even do that when that wasn't even aligned? And so this is a process that really centers us. And in the chaos, like I was saying, in Hong Kong, you know, to find something so beautiful in the chaos of a place like Hong Kong is so symbolic, because this is what it is. It is being that stillness in the movement, the movement that is so fast, and yet you can be in this still point. And it's not about not doing, but it's about being overdoing, like being comes first and then doing. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm relating in so many ways. You know, most of my audience is Latino. There are also other folks listening as well, and welcome everyone. But we have the culture of also sacrifice, and the culture of like the woman doing everything for the man and the woman sacrificing for the family, and you know, work the job so your kids will eat, and it doesn't matter if you don't have any time off. Like, it's pretty intense. And then coming from New York City, when you were talking about finding that stillness, like when I come on here in the podcast, I'm pretty animated and, you know, as I am. But the truth is that my abilities and my talents and like what I do, what I bring into the world comes from that quiet inside. The reason I can be like this is because in here, there's like, it's very grounded and it's very like solid. It's not like I'm like up here. It's like a grounded joy that comes from being connected. And one of the thing I always invite people into when they study intuition with me, right, is that we have to find those quiet moments, even in the madness, even in the craziness. It's those moments that will save us, that will return us, that will help us understand who we truly are. But it's becoming increasingly difficult, I think, in this society where, you know, we have a computer in our phone. I mean, it's been years now, but it's getting better and better. Now we have AI. I mean, the world is getting more and more busy, hectic. There's always something to look at outside of yourself. And that's why I'm so happy to have you here as well, because it's also so crucial. The crazier everything gets outside, the more important our connecting to that inner peace and that inner energy and that inner wisdom. And so I love what everything you're sharing. I'm like, I want to meet you in person. I want to be in tea ceremony. How was that going to Scotland? Were people open to it? Did you have to educate? Because part of our work is also educating. Right?
Yes.
It is. Yes. If people who are interested and people who are like, oh, I want to know about that. So how has that been in Scotland?
You know, we were chatting before we came here, came on about like the times that we had during the pandemic. And, you know, the funny thing is when I started to do this, I started off right before things came into lockdown. So I was just really serving tea and inviting people to my house. And I was just educating them about living tea, why it's different, and letting them experience the ceremony. And it just came from this really pure-hearted space. And so people were genuinely really curious. And then the lockdown happened. And so I had to pivot quite fast from there, where from in person, it went online completely. And when I started doing that, because I think at that point, I was like, okay, how are they going to drink the tea? And so I think it happened very naturally, where we were across, you and I were sitting right here, we can share the tea. And I would usually send the tea to them, and we would drink together. And I started to channel, I don't even know what it was. It was just like words and things were like I could see. And even in complete silence, like after the ceremony, the women who came, they would tell me like, you know, I really felt the presence of my mother, or like I really saw my beloved, or, you know, all the things, all the incredible things. And so I started to really feel into it. I was like, oh, this is interesting. Like, what is going on here? And so as I dug deeper, and like we were speaking before, things just kind of exploded online. I think a lot of people were very interested. It just became very easy to bring everyone in. It started in Edinburgh, yes, but then it became very international. Like I was serving people from all across the world. But I think what really happened after that was like I dug deeper, because I didn't have words to explain what it was that I was doing. And I realized that, oh, I found the way I could speak about it through bioenergetics, through quantum science. So I went into some study work with Dr. Sue Mortar, and I studied the energy body. Like I could understand, okay, with the breath, what we could open up, and how the different energy bodies work in the chakras and things like that. So then I went very naturally into that. Incorporating that into the tea ceremony activations that I was leading. And then it just continued to evolve. And last year, I was at the Shaolin Temple for a Qigong study retreat again, and then now I'm continuing to study the internal arts of traditional Chinese medicine, of Taoist alchemy. So it's just all been a very natural progression. Things are opening up right now, not gonna lie. So it's another fresh page of challenge, I would say, for sure. Bringing things out differently, educating differently, because there are so many different other things people get to do now, you know, in that sense. And so why tea, why ceremony is a thing that I feel like, you know, it's been quite an interesting journey to share. And the interesting thing is that the more I do this, the more I realize, like, it is an experience that you have to experience to really understand what it is. And I know a lot of people say that all the time about different modalities, but you know, the more simple I can keep this, so that when you experience it, you can feel the unique transmission, because Tea Spirit has a very unique transmission for each person. The more powerful the experience is, and I have to trust that, and I do trust that fully. So yeah, it's been a very interesting ride in Edinburgh, especially. Yeah, definitely. Wow.
I know, I dream of going there because I also do improv, so I want to perform at the Fringe. We'll see what happens. Yeah. So when you said that, I was like, is this a sign? Because I perform in the Fringe here where I live in Harrisburg. But I love that you came on. I love that you decided to hear the call and heed it, and kind of take you where it does. And that's a very crucial element in, I think, our spiritual path and also in our business path. Because listen, we can study all the systems. I know people who have all the certifications and the tarot cards and the this and the that. But then they're still doing it through an intellectual perspective of, I know this and I know the chakra and I know this, I know that. But the healing doesn't happen solely in here. And I do hypnosis as well, but it doesn't. It's integral. And so at some point we have to embody the wisdom, letting go of the mind. And that's where we go into the unknown. But I know that I've met so many spiritual people who haven't gotten there yet. And it's like they want to hold on to control. They want to hold on to the control, even though they're like, I can tell you the numerology year and I can tell you the astrology cleanse, right? And it's like, it's not just about information. It's not just about information. There are people who don't have any information and will channel wisdom anyway. The information helps us. It helps us speak in different languages of modality, right?
Yes.
But at the end of the day, we're invited into the unknown, and that's how we discover like who we truly are. And that's really, I think, stepping into the unknown is actually the surrender. Like people say to me, what are you best at? Are you best at hypnosis, psychic ability, reading? And I go, surrender. And they're like, what do you mean? You know, when spirit goes, you can't go back to corporate. Like for you, it said leave. For me, they let me go right before a major surgery. And there I am, you know, and United States is not like other countries. We don't have free healthcare in general. I mean, maybe, but that's, you have to be at the poverty level, right? So if you're not, it's really hard to get. There's so many things, so many challenges. And it's not like Europe at all, where people have a lot of help to build their business. Here, it's a deep struggle in many ways if you don't have like wealth. And everything that I've ever received and everything that I love about my life was received because I had to let go of the known and I had to throw myself over the cliff and discover that I could fly. You know, like you don't know how big your wings are. You don't know how wide they are. You're just like, okay, spirit told me to jump. I don't know how I'm going to land. I don't know what's going to happen. And then we do it. And I do want to caution anyone who's listening not to now just quit their job and say goodbye to their marriage and be like, I'm going to get in my car and drive, right? Because I know teachers who told people, follow your bliss. And then people weren't prepared and left their jobs. And then they were poor. They were crying. They were, you know, in the United States. It's not an external idea that we think is cool. It's an inner calling. And I think if we look at our lives, it's prepared us for it. Like, you were already practicing tea ceremony when you started to hear that, even if it was not a long time. There was something in you that was right calling you into deeper training, into deeper service. I was already doing what I was doing for a long time before I came online in 2012, 2013. And so I just want to encourage people, you know, don't just be like, oh, that's a cool idea, I'm going to give up everything. No, don't let it be here. Let it be like really deeply integrated. Any thoughts on that? Because I see you nodding. I know.
Oh, I love that. It's such a, I'm so passionate about this topic because I see this often. And so let's start with that, like the whole integration part. And you know what? We're in the age of information. You can just Google whatever in the world. Like, you can Google Cha Dao now and you can find everything about Cha Dao. And so for me, the whole idea of information is not what that interests me. What interests me is how are you walking this path? And that's why I said it is a way of living. And also the interesting thing is, you know, we talk about alchemy all the time. You know, the huge part of the formula for alchemy to happen, or alchemical transformation, as some of you may have heard of it, that part of the mystery has to be in it. And so as a very, as healers or a space holder, someone who is responsible for working with someone else and working with them on their journey, you know, we have to be willing to really resist controlling the outcome. We have to be so willing to allow the process to unfold in its own way and in its own time. And the only way we can stand fearlessly in the face of, I don't know what's going to happen, I don't know really what shadows are going to come up, is that we have to meet ourselves so deeply and so unwaveringly. And this goes beyond courage. This actually is a solid knowing that every part of us, the shadow, the light, it is part of our wholeness. And if we shirk from one part, any part of that wholeness, then it's just not whole. It's not whole. And so how much we can meet ourselves is exactly reflected in how much you can meet your patient, your client, your guest, or whoever that's coming that you're in service to. So I feel that a lot of people tend to give up on the spiritual journey when they feel that it requires them to surrender to the unknown. Meaning it could quite likely happen oftentimes in a way where there are things you have to let go. There are things that you have to decide to walk away from. And I think the mastery really lies, again, going back to that knowing deep in that stillness, that still point of who you are. Who are you really is the root, the anchor for all the actions, the ripples of your frequency and what is reflected in your reality, truly. And I think as healers, we all have to be so aware of that. We have to be, I say this, I know it can sound kind of harsh to some people, but like, I honestly think that you have to be so devoted to the path, because it's not all, you know, easy breezy flowers and sunshine all the time. But if we think that, oh, flowers and sunshine are great, the rain and the storm are not good, then we are dishonoring the wholeness of not just our self, but the entire cosmos, the entire wisdom that is us, the divine. We are the expression of the divine. And so, Yeah, and sometimes I also think in this incredible way where, you know, like back in the day in ancient times, our ancestors literally prayed for rain. They would pray and create ceremonies and rituals for rain. And here we are driving through the city and we're like complaining, oh my God, that's rain again. You know what I mean? It's like the disconnection and separation. And sometimes when we come back and through practice, through training, we understand that we are not separate from anything at all. That's where your power really starts to awaken to like a whole new level. And this is not power from the ego, but like literally is you flowing with the cosmos, flowing as who you truly are, your true essence. And that's where when you do healing work and you don't feel exhausted, you don't feel like you're floating all out there because you're now integrated. You're not regurgitating an information that someone else said. You actually know what it feels like. And that is my hope for, you know, all the new ancestors that we are literally now becoming, to be honest.
I love that so, so much. And, you know, as I'm hearing you speak, I know that everything that I am happy to be experiencing in my life right now was gotten through walking through all of it and not naming it bad or good, you know? And I want to share this briefly, but we were talking about this before, like in 2012, when I was laid off before my big surgery, I had a big abdominal surgery for fibroids. And then when I came out, I had a breakup. So there's like now no money. I had a breakup. My rent was $2,000 a month back then, 2012, in New York, in Queens, not even Manhattan. And then after that, I was in a car accident and I was okay. I was guided throughout it. But during the surgery, they did not check the paperwork for my tests. I had MRSA in my body for 3 months. So all of those terrible things, you think like loss of health, loss of relationship, loss of income, almost loss of life, but came out okay because I listened to intuition during the accident. And I remember people like, oh, what did you do in your past life that you're suffering so much? Or people were like, oh, they must have done witchcraft on you. You know, in Spanish, we say brujería. Like they did negative brujería on you. They did this thing to you. And all I could say to them was, I'm a piece of coal and I'm being made into a diamond. That's all I know that I'm getting.
Yes.
Yeah. And after that, you know, I wound up subletting my apartment and, you know, and I wasn't a baby. I was already alone since I was 21 living alone. Now I'm older and I'm sleeping on couches in Costa Rica, Panama, LA, Miami, building my business, right? It was a huge leap of faith, of the unknown, of losing everything that I thought, like you said, you left everything that was going well, but you weren't that happy with it, even though things were going well, right? It wasn't your full calling. And for me, it was like, hello, we're going to be dragging you through it to then come into this work. And, you know, Spirit's like, create your business online. And it's 2012, 2013. And I'm like, teaching on conference calls because we didn't have Zoom for a big group of people. We had Skype for one-on-one or small groups, sometimes three.
Oh, yes.
Right? It was like back then. I've been online since then. And I can say now that because I went through that, other challenges, when you don't have a home, when you're not healthy, when you're sick and, you know, antibiotics don't work for you and all these things, you're pushed to the edge of who you are. And again, I'm not saying that we should all try to go and encourage that because it will find you, like life will find you. But when people say to me, oh my God, that was the worst time of your life. I go, it was really hard. But without that, I would not be who I am. I know that. I know that it took all those different things being stripped and me making a choice. Well, am I going to go back to corporate for security? Or am I going to just jump and do this thing that I know is inside of me because I've been reading people since I'm 16? What am I going to do? And embodying that courage and embodying devotion and embodying that in my being, for all of us, we then now carry that energy into everything we do. So it's also service when we step into our devotion and when we step into our greatest fears. Trust me, I was laying in my bed crying. I was like, oh my God, I'm homeless. I can't believe it. I've never been homeless before. You know, what's going on? I have, you know, it's not like I had a husband or a partner or anybody or parents giving me money. I was like, what am I going to do? And just stepping and taking the next step and listening to spirit. And so if anybody's going through a difficult time, as hard as it is, I invite you to not judge it as bad, even though it feels terrible, right? To judge it as like this part of our hero's journey. And even like I was telling you that in 2020, like have my family passed. The thing is, and I miss them, and I wish that, you know, I could call my mom right now after we talk, or my brother, or my dad. But the thing is, that loss stepped me up to be the elder. I'm the oldest in North America. I have family that are older in South America. And what does that mean, even at this age where I'm not super older, but I'm not super young either, to now be the eldest of the family in North America? And so these are things that have pushed me now to be more fearless. You know, to be like, I'm going to go perform improv. I'm going to go sing. I used to sing when I was younger. I'm going to create, I'm going to produce a show. All these things aside. And so when we also step into the unknown for our business, for our spirituality, we could also discover love. We discover love for ourselves, but we can invite love into our lives. Invite more of ourselves, like you said. If we leave a piece out, right? Like I've come into like my artist fully now, and I've been one throughout my life, but and so what more? What does the grief tell us? What does the pain tell us? What is the loss? What is the joy? And so I love everything that you are sharing. I have a question for you. I think you've kind of leaned into it, but I'd love to, you know, ask it. What are some of the ancestral patterns that you had to break? And one of them you touched upon it, women sacrificing. Are there any other ancestral patterns you had to release or transform or alchemize to be who you are today and do the work that you do?
Yeah, I had a very, I did so, such a deep, almost like a, I could say almost felt like a shamanic journey working with tea, because firstly, you know, I think it is worthwhile saying that growing up, because of what I mentioned, like not feeling at home at all, firstly in my own body, and then in the country that I was living in. And it's interesting because right now I love this country. I love everything about me. And I can say that it really is a testament of what happens when you fully own who you are. Like every part of yourself. Like, look, I'm not perfect. What you just said there, I've gone through the deepest depression where I'm such a bubbly, positive person most of the time. So it was a very foreign feeling. But I remember sitting on the couch, windows wide open, the winter sun was streaming through. And this happened in Edinburgh, you know, and I am so thankful for the practice, the whatever that was there to prepare me for what I needed to face. And I had a very real moment where I felt like, oh, I'm so useless. Like I can't change anything. And for a real moment, I really felt like I wanted to just end it there, like just take myself from this earth. And nobody could understand, nobody could really, you know, that sense. And so I totally understand anyone who's going through that moment. And to really, and that this is just what I wanted to say, I know I deviated a bit from the question, but I wanted to really say this as well, where you are so loved. You are absolutely so loved. And even in the moment when you cannot see your way through it, all that you have, all that you want is right there. It's there. It's there even though you can't see it in your reality. And if today feels really tough, I'm just inviting you to just sit with it. Whatever that wants to come up, just embrace it. Embrace it in the sense of really, I can almost see you hugging it just giving it that space to be seen. And you'll be so, I mean, I feel like that's the shift that happens, because, I mean, I can speak in terms of your body functioning itself. It's like you are allowing energy to move. So it's not sitting there, you know, literally becoming calcifying into a blockage of, you know, things that can come up in different ways, like, you know, an illness or some form of accident. I truly believe that, you know, these things are presented to us to really guide us back to our true essence, everything. So this is where you must remember, you are always allowed to receive support. Always. So anyway, going back to what you were saying, I think the one thing that really came up very strongly, the ancestral pattern itself, is having to do everything on your own. And that's why that memory popped up, because I remember growing up just listening, hearing this all the time, where it's like, you know, I remember hearing that from my grandmother, from my mother, where it's like, you know, if you want things done properly, you have to do it yourself. And you shouldn't tell anyone that you're struggling. You have to be like this perfect front and this perfect, like everything is okay. Because if they know that you're suffering or struggling, then they will use it against you, like in 10 years time or something, like crazy like that, right? Like how crazy the mind can go. I had a moment where it's so interesting, because we were talking about this ritual where they would do this physically, where they would create this banana boat, literally a banana boat, and put all the flowers, candles, everything to honor the ancestors. And I believe they call it here a sending away ceremony, where they drift the boat down the river physically in the middle of the night, I think after midnight. I was literally talking about this at dinner today, and I actually saw that in a visualization of sending my ancestors and waving goodbye to them as I send them off on like all these amazing white sails, ships with white sails, and just sending them off. And it was such a powerful moment, because, you know, I felt it, and I say this right now with full conviction, that when we set them free, they actually are so joyous. And I think it starts from setting ourselves free from them. You know, it's not about, and I don't know what you think about this, my love, but I feel like there's a misconception sometimes when it comes to ancestral healing. It's like, oh, they did so much wrong and I need to fix their mistakes and all of that. But for me, what I felt was just pure love. Like, they literally transformed into like pure spirit. And so now, without the physicality, without the personality, without all those little things that made them quote unquote wrong, they can be fully here to support me. And I did that through forgiving myself, actually. Forgiving myself is interesting, because you would think that you have to forgive your ancestors, but actually it was forgiving myself and saying very intentionally, I am setting them free.
Yes.
Here to continue to write their story for them in a way that they could not as a physical form. And it was so powerful, because now I can feel them here all the time.
Yeah.
All the time.
I love that you brought that up, and I'm getting chills, because I have heard that. I have heard people, I don't want to, you know, and I have, hold on a moment. Sorry, we had a little blip. I'm going to say this quick, and then I know we have to wrap it up. I could talk to you for hours, so you're coming back, okay? So many people are like, I don't want to put my drunk uncle on my altar, because we have an ancestor altar, my family, right? But if I teach people that, I don't want to do this, I don't want to. We have to also allow that when people leave the body, they gain a wisdom. They suddenly are aware. This is the personality. And the personality sometimes does not wake up to its own eternity, to its own eternal multidimensional self. Well, we pass away, for me anyway, your angels, your guides, your family are like, hey, come on, right? And it is up to us to forgive ourselves, to forgive them, and to release them. Like, I pick up my mom all the time. People tell me things like, your mom loves your garden. And I'm like, oh, they don't even know her, right? Because I feel like she's hanging out there. But my mom is also on another level. My mom is enjoying her spiritual world and her spiritual life. And once in a while when I'm sad and I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to make it through, my mom will be like, don't be a fool. Because she would say things like that. Of course you are, you know. But it's not. But that leads to us having unresolved issues with them, right? If we're holding on to a parent that we feel didn't love us, and then they pass away and we're like, oh, they did this, but it's really more us. We have to do that work for ourselves to be able to perceive it, heal it, release it. I did not have a great relationship with my dad, but you know, by the time he passed, I was so at peace that I was like, oh, I'm so glad he's on the other side. And so I agree with you. And also one of the practices that I do for some people is to connect to the well and the wise ancestor. Right? Because not everybody sees that. Some people psychologically, no, they're still mad on the other side. I'm like, well, so I agree with you. It's they gain a wisdom that they don't have in this life. I hate to close, because you know, because we could do this forever. How can we find you? How can we find you? And yes, how can we work with you?
Come on in and say hello. Let me know you're from here on Instagram. I am Liying Lim is the Instagram account. And yeah, I have a website as well. It's whenstillwatersspeak.com. And there are multiple ways to work with me. You can work with me one-to-one in a 4-month or 6-month or 1-year mentorship. The 1-year mentorship, you get to travel to Kyoto to meet me in person. That's the retreat that we're doing this year in October. And various other ways. I do have a course or a mentorship rather called Chadao for the Multidimensional Woman. It's not about brewing the tea, but rather to learn to unveil your own embodied wisdom and how to walk as that sacred living being. You know, you don't, like you said, you know, we can experience our eternal present right here, right now, actually. And I think that's the most wonderful way to live. So that is an option as well. So, yes.
I love that so much. Liying, you are so wonderful. It's been such a pleasure to be in your presence. And I feel like even though we're like on opposite sides of the world, that we actually overlap in so many ways. And so I'm looking forward to sharing your work, continuing to get to know you and share you with the world and work with you. So thank you so much, Liying. And
bendiciones,
blessings, and thank you all, everyone. I know, let us know how this episode landed with you. And please let us know as well if you have a practice like this that has brought you back to yourself during times of strife, during times of, you know, of the unknown, of where, you know, transition. Así que muchas gracias, mi gente hermosa. Thank you, Liying. Bendiciones. Bye, everyone.